Nice try, Harry. I'm back in the country and well hidden. I want you to keep me posted on everything that's going on at Hogwarts. Don't use Hedwig. Keep changing owls. And don't worry about me. Just watch out for yourself. Don't forget what I said about your scar. Sirius.
Why do you have to keep changing owls?
Ron asked in a low voice.
Hedwig'll attract too much attention, said Hermione at once. She stands out, a snowy owl that keeps returning to wherever he's hiding. I mean, they're not native birds, are they?
Harry rolled up the letter and slipped it inside his robes, wondering whether he felt more or less worried than before. He supposed that Sirius managing to get back without being caught was something. He couldn't deny either that the idea that Sirius was much nearer was reassuring. At least he wouldn't have to wait so long for a response every time he wrote.
"Thanks, Hedwig,"
he said, stroking her. She hooted sleepily, dipped her beak briefly into his goblet of orange juice, then took off again, clearly desperate for a good long sleep in the owlry. There was a pleasant feeling of anticipation in the air that day. Nobody was very attentive in lessons, being much more interested in the arrival that evening of the people from Beauxbatons and Durmstrang. Even Potions was more bearable than usual, as it was half an hour shorter. When the bell rang early, Harry, Ron, and Hermione hurried up to Gryffindor Tower, deposited their bags and books as they had been instructed, pulled on their cloaks, and rushed back downstairs into the entrance hall. The heads of houses were ordering their students into lines.
"Weasley, straighten your hat!" Professor McGonagall snapped at Ron. "Miss Patel, take that ridiculous thing out of your hair!"
Parvati scowled and removed a large ornamental butterfly from the end of her plait.
"Follow me, please," said Professor McGonagall. "First year's in front. No pushing!"
They filed down the steps and lined up in front of the castle. It was a cold, clear evening. Dusk was falling, and a pale, transparent-looking moon was already shining over the Forbidden Forest. Harry, standing between Ron and Hermione in the fourth row from the front, saw Dennis Creevy positively shivering with anticipation among the other first years.
"Nearly six,"
said Ron, checking his watch and then staring down the drive that led to the front gates.
"How do you reckon they're coming? The train?"
"I doubt it,"
said Hermione.
"How then? Broomsticks?"
Harry suggested, looking up at the starry sky.
"I don't think so. Not from that far away."
"A portkey," Ron suggested. "Or they could apparate. Maybe you're allowed to do it under 17, wherever they come from."
"You can't apparate inside the Hogwarts grounds. How often do I have to tell you?"
said Hermione impatiently. They scanned the darkening grounds excitedly, but nothing was moving. Everything was still silent and quite as usual. Harry was starting to feel cold. He wished they'd hurry up. Maybe the foreign students were preparing a dramatic entrance. He remembered what Mr. Weasley had said back at the campsite before the Quidditch World Cup.
"Always the same. We can't resist showing off when we get together."
And then Dumbledore called out from the back row where he stood with the other teachers.
"Aha! Unless I am very much mistaken, the delegation from Beauxbatons approaches."
"Where?"
said many students eagerly, all looking in different directions.
"There!"
yelled a sixth year, pointing over the forest. Something large, much larger than a broomstick, or indeed 100 broomsticks, was hurtling across the deep blue sky toward the castle, growing larger all the time.
"It's a dragon!"
shrieked one of the first years, losing her head completely.
"Don't be stupid! It's a flying house!"
said Dennis Creevy. Dennis's guess was closer. As the gigantic black shape skimmed over the treetops of the Forbidden Forest and the lights shining from the castle windows hit it, they saw a gigantic powder-blue horse-drawn carriage, the size of a large house, soaring toward them. Pulled through the air by a dozen winged horses, all palominos, and each the size of an elephant. The front three rows of students drew backward as the carriage hurtled ever lower, coming into land at a tremendous speed. Then, with an almighty crash that made Neville jump backward onto a Slytherin fifth year's foot, the horse's hooves, larger than dinner plates, hit the ground.